Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. Promoting St. Louis as a region is important for its success in attracting economic development, tourists, building community, and for retaining talent. But how do we sell St. Louis? How well do we do it? Branding and promoting a community is critical for knowing who we are and letting everyone else know it, too. I'm Don Marsh. We're going to be talking about that on today's program. Are we successfully branding our region? Our guests, Brian Hall, Chief Marketing Officer for the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission. Tara Pham is founding member for the Brain Drain Collective, an organization dedicated to using creative talents to enhance the vitality of cities and to convince talented young people to stay in St. Louis. Mac Bradley is media strategist and president for Standpoint Public Affairs, which has been involved in promoting St. Louis outside and within the region. Matt Seelbeck is co-owner of Anastasis Films, which produces videos helping clients tell their stories, and whose short video, Here's St. Louis, which focused on city attributes, has been called a love letter to St. Louis. Now, we want your ideas for a slogan for the city. On Twitter, use the hashtag BrandingSTL or comment on our Facebook page. We hope to hear from many of you today during the course of the program. Let me start with you, Brian, if I may. Thank you all for being with us. I'm anticipating this is going to be an interesting and fun program. How well do we do, Brian, in promoting St. Louis?
I think we do very well. There are many indicators that we look at as far as assessing our success. There are three really key indicators that that I think are bellwethers as far as how St. Louis is performing. The first is hotels. When we know that when hotel occupancy and rates are on the rise, that the tourists are coming in large numbers, and we're able to get very accurate information from a service called Smith Travel Research. And interestingly, Don, year-to-date, hotel performance has improved over the prior year by 9.6%, which is huge. Number two, assessing the vitality of tourism in St. Louis, we look at attraction attendance. And just the other day, I received an updated report from many of the attractions that that are accustomed to reporting their attendance to the CVC. And I found that the Arch is up, for example, by an impressive 28%, 10% to the top, but 28% for the museum. The zoo is up by double digits. The Missouri Botanical Garden just finished up the Chinese lantern exhibit, and it broke attendance records, and they did very well. So I know that there's a lot of vitality when I look at attraction attendance. And then the last measure, which is actually a precursor to visitation, is website traffic. And our website traffic year-to-date is up by 14%. So certainly there are a lot of people that are coming online, checking out the website, responding to the advertising campaign, which is the essence of the positioning, and then they're coming.
Well, those are very impressive figures. But I'm going to ask the other guests in the studio essentially the same question. Tara, let me start with you. How well do you think we brand this city? And while those figures are impressive, I wonder if they might not be even better if we did a better job at branding ourselves.
I do think we could do a better job. I'm really impressed by the numbers and the increase in tourism and an interest from outside. What I'm really often concerned with is how internally we brand ourselves to each other and how we see ourselves. I do think we have a lot of assets, and I know that a lot of families, for example, will use the free admission to our museums and to the zoo often. But there's a lot else that as a city we could do. For example, I'm biased. I'm a young transplant, and when I look at a city, I might not measure it by what the school districts are like or what tourist attractions there are, but what are the things that I would engage with daily? What are the venues like? Or what is there to do, after work hours? What are the other, what kinds of social groups are out there? And in that way, I think that St. Louisans often aren't aware of what they have in the city.
All right. Well, Matt, how about you?
I think a lot of it, to me, has to do with what we're up against. I think there is a mentality of, in general in America, of what's happening in the world is happening on the coast. And I think that, to me, the broader issue, which maybe we'll be touching on more in depth, is the issue of the Midwest mentality. And we've been feeding ourselves, and maybe perhaps fed by others, the idea that the Midwest is secondary. It's the flyover region. And I think we, Brian and the CVC have done a great job in the branding, but I think a lot of it has to do with constantly thinking about how do we do that even better, even better, even better. And I know that they are always thinking about that. And then to that end, how do you also begin to influence the mindset and change that?
And let's go with you, Matt. Go ahead.
Yeah, I do think that internal mindset is really critical. And, you know, the numbers that Brian stated early on are impressive, although I do want to know who those 18% of people are who go all the way to the arch and don't bother to go to the top. But that's a different – that's maybe a different story. But we do have – I think St. Louis has what I call the Eeyore syndrome. You know, those of you who have kids know who Eeyore is. You know, St. Louis sort of has this good morning, if it is a good morning, which I doubt, attitude about itself often. And we do need to get over that. And one of the things we were talking about before the show, which is, I think, a step in that direction, Brian and I were both involved in the effort to get the Democratic National Convention here this year. You all may have noticed it wasn't here. But we did a really good job of getting right up to the end of that process. But one of the things that, because of this Eeyore syndrome, one of the things that I expected to take place in that process was a lot of hand-wringing from people about, boy, do you really think we can do this? And maybe we shouldn't go after it because maybe it won't work out. And we didn't get any of that from people. People immediately said, yeah, that's a good idea. We can go after that. And that's a very encouraging sign, I think.
We're apparently going to try for a convention again, from what I've been reading. At least that's that is a possibility. I guess what we're saying here is we have an inferiority complex.
There's no doubt that we do. And there are a number of people that are actually taking steps to counteract this. One of the interesting things is that I think St. Louisans have a lower self-opinion than that which exists among the different target audiences that come here. I kind of break down – when I look at the nation, I break down perceptions into two categories. That number one, there are about 80% of Americans that if you ask them about St. Louis, a little file would pop open in their head and they'd find very little information in reference to how to think about our community for the reasons that that Matt was just expressing. They just don't know. They haven't had an occasion to visit here. Mm-hmm. And then there are those people, Don, that suffer from perceptual hangovers. Perhaps they were here 15, 20 years ago. But the vast majority of Americans are a blank slate, and we can use our positioning and our marketing campaigns to convince them that there are some really exciting things happening here. But I find it a really interesting dichotomy that when I look at attitudes and perceptions in our research of those people who travel here and have a great time, they're actually oftentimes superior to our own residents' attitudes and perceptions concerning what they have right here in front of them to enjoy from an attraction standpoint.
We've had a number of tweets in promoting this program today, and just to give indication of what some people are saying, which falls into what we're talking about now, Anne writes, it's the smallest town of 318,000 that you'll ever visit. That's a proposed slogan, by the way. And Heather writes, kind of close to Chicago, lots of free stuff and baseball.
Boo.
What is our brand?
Very well.
Yeah, right, exactly. Well, a lot of them are very, very long. We have slogans. I've written down some of the things here that what are we? Are we the gateway city, the gateway to the West? Are we perfectly centered and remarkably connected? Or St. Louis is all within reach? What are we?
I really liked actually what Matt's video said. Gateway to the West? No, gateway to here. I think St. Louis often brands itself relative to other things instead of looking at on an absolute scale, all of the amazing things we have here. And that's sort of why I booed the Chicago reference, nothing against baseball. We have a lot here, and I think when people do come from other places to visit, they leave with that notion because they do come with what Brian called the blank slate. And we need to stop comparing ourselves to other places.
And Matt, you, I know, what the gateway to the West is bothersome to you. Why?
Yeah, well, John Paul, my business partner, and I and some of the other individuals that work in our collective down in Dutchtown, as we were brainstorming about this slogan, one of the things that bothered us is the gateway to the West is a great heritage of St. Louis. The fact that we were a city that established itself very early on to say, we are that post by which you may come through to go and explore the rest of the frontier. It's a great heritage. But the West has kind of been discovered.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've kind of gone there. And so what we want to try to communicate is it's not just a pass-through. It's not just the gateway to get out of here. You know, it's the gateway to hear that idea is that in the video we were hoping to show all of this is right here. So don't pass through, but stay here.
Any thoughts? Go ahead.
Well, you know, there are kind of two things we just talked about. One of them are the amenities that St. Louis has that sort of leads to a certain quality of life. And I've often talked about the fact that St. Louis was a great city at exactly the right moment in history, because when we were the fourth biggest city in the country, big cities were building big things and great amenities. And so we still have all those things. And if we had missed our great city status by a generation either side, we wouldn't have all this stuff. So we got our timing just right in that respect. So we have a lot of great amenities, but it's more than a list of stuff that we have.
Mm-hmm.
I think our brand needs to communicate a dynamic community, someplace where things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you come here, you can help make things happen. That's I feel like that's really the essence of what we want to communicate to people that we want to bring here to live and to work.
It's got to be short, it's got to be sweet, and it's got to say something. Let me just read a couple here, and if anyone here at this table doesn't know what cities I'm talking about, let me know. The Big D, the Big Apple, Motown, Beantown. You know, people know who those places are, and yet I don't have the feeling that there's anything like that going on here. We need a slogan, Brian, don't we?
Well, I think that a brand actually is deeper than a slogan and a mark. And I think we need to broaden the definition as far as how we think about positioning us, because no tagline, no mark is going to be able to carry all the weight of creating the true essence of the community. So think about a brand this way, Don. A brand is really an idea, and it lives in your head. It's not a symbol. It is not a tagline. It is a complicated series of files, mental pictures that you've taken over the course of your experience with any product, service, or city.
But I gave, and I have to take a break now, but I gave a series of examples of things, various slogans that organizations, mm-hmm. including your own, Brian, use here in town. And I think it's difficult for people to remember them. Plus, there are too many of them, aren't there?
Way too many of them.
What we need to do is consolidate somehow. Is that a possibility?
Well, there is no doubt that there are too many slogans representing St. Louis in this community, and I'm very heartened that Joe Reagan, who is the new CEO of the RCGA, has taken the extraordinary action step to actually embrace the brand identity. St. Louis is all within reach, and they're going to be using that for the RCGA. That was announced about a month ago, and that's mm-hmm. a big step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. On the heels of Joe's announcement, Maggie Campbell at the Downtown Partnership weighed in as well. So now the Downtown Partnership is using the brand identity. And then after that, shortly thereafter, Denny Coleman at St. Louis County Economic Development said, we'll get behind that too. So it's all great that everyone is going to be using the same identity, but we also want to make sure that we all have the same sense of meaning, because I think the meaning behind the brand is much more important than just the mark.
Not only the same sense of meaning for the people who are carrying the brand, for the people who are digesting it and reading it, whether they're here in St. Louis or in Baltimore or Timbuktu. I've got to take a break now. We'll continue that. We're talking about the branding of St. Louis, and we want your ideas for a slogan for the city. That's part of what we're talking about today. On Twitter, use the hashtag BrandingSTL or comment on our Facebook page. With me in studio is Matt Sealback. He's co-owner of Anastasis Films. I mispronounced that earlier. I apologize for that. Mac Bradley is media strategist and president for Standpoint Public Affairs, Tara Pham, founding member for the Brain Drain Collective, and Brian Hall, chief marketing officer for the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission. We'll be back in just a moment to continue this conversation. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And we welcome you all back. We're having a spirited conversation going on here during the break. We'll continue it, I assure you, during the course of the program. You know, I went on the Internet yesterday, and I Googled St. Louis brand. And everything that came up related to the St. Louis Cardinals. It's as if the rest of the world thinks of this town only in terms of the, that team. And I notice,
I've heard of
Mac, that you've got a jersey on that has the logo on it. This is an important part of it, but a lot of people think it's all of it.
We were talking before the show. I think maybe we ought to go with Beyond Baseball as our slogan. Because, you know, that is what we're known for. When, you know, Brian talks about these, you know, mental images and the files that are in people's minds when they think about St. Louis, for an awful lot of people, that's all they think about. And which is great. We have a great baseball team for all of you listening out there who don't know that. But there's a lot more here, too. And we have to find a way to communicate that.
One of the interesting things that that we do at the CVC in reference to baseball is that we very much embrace it naturally because it's such a great driver of tourism. We estimate that for any home series on a weekend that as many as 10,000 people are coming from outside of a 100-mile radius. They're sleeping in hotels. But what we try to do inside the stadium is that we remind those visitors of all the things outside of the ballpark that they can do and invite them to go to the Art Museum, to check out Forest Park, to go to City Garden. And we have a wonderful opportunity to extend what may have been a single night that they'd stay in town for a baseball game into an entire weekend, if not 4 or 5 days.
Go ahead, Tara.
Recently, the Regional Arts Commission published a document called The Arts Mean Business, and there they actually cite that more people visit the arts than all of our sports teams combined annually. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's obvious that we're missing a big opportunity to promote St. Louis as something beyond sports. I really liked what Max said about capturing a culture, and I think one thing that we could really make our own is an identity of a pioneering city. Kind of, you know, we were the gateway to the West, but now we also do so many other things. St. Louis is really advancing as a city for entrepreneurship. Missouri was recently ranked sixth in entrepreneurial activity as far as states go, and a large part of that is because of St. Louis. So there are a lot of other things happening here, and I think that really tapping into that culture, you know, I think slogans are great, but if you don't remember the exact words, the slogan is lost. So how do we instill an idea of culture and what it means to be a St. Louisan in other people's minds?
Go ahead, Beck.
I was going to say, I think that the rise of the creative class mm-hmm. in St. Louis, which is much broader and much deeper than it was just a few short years ago, as an example of what you're talking about, and something that we can, something that we will become known for, whether we pursue that or not. So let's pursue mm-hmm. it in a methodical way.
Yeah. Let me get a quick comment from each of you to this question, and I'll start with you, Mac, because you were involved in trying to get the Democratic convention here. Very, very quickly, when you pitch St. Louis, how do you do it? What do you say? That the broadest stroke possible, if you would.
You know, in that case, it was the fact that we have a great story to tell here, and we can help you tell your story in a powerful way because of who we are. Part of it is because of our history. Part of it's because of this pioneering spirit that you mentioned earlier, and a lot of different things. But we have everything that you need to help you succeed and to help you tell a great story. And I think that helped us a lot. On the St. Louis, Missouri side of it, my own personal opinion, Missouri doesn't always help us. Mm-hmm. In this particular case, the example that you're referring to, this is my personal opinion, if it had been St. Louis versus Charlotte rather than Missouri versus North Carolina, the outcome would have been different.
Yeah. Matt, how would you sell St. Louis in a few words?
The first thing that I usually start with, Don, when people ask about, well, what's St. Louis like, is I'd say it's a great city. Because I think there are a lot of what we're talking about is a microcosm of life, in that people can look at life in one of two ways. They can choose to look at it positively and think of what is possible right now and in the future, or they can choose to look at life negatively and say, oh, what was. And that can be a bad what was or a good what was, but it's all in the past. And it can affect your view on the present. So I start by saying it's a great city. Put that positive out there to say it's a great place to live. It's a great place to do some really fun things. Personally, we have my wife and I have two kids. It's a great place to take them to do great things. So I start with some of those things.
Positives. And Tara, yeah. Before I go to Brian, if you were to sell St. Louis, how would you do it?
I would say it's a city where you can get involved. It's really cheap. And that is important, actually.
Say inexpensive rather than cheap. I think that'll work
okay,
better.
Yeah, you're right. But it is inexpensive. It's really affordable. I'll put it that way. Mm-hmm. The quality of life that I afford here is not something that I could get in another city and pursue all the passion projects that I pursue. And it is easy to meet people. And if you're willing to get out there, people are very, very welcoming. I find that in my efforts to get involved in the city, people want you to get involved. They want you to stay here. They want you to do great things. And I've been able to meet a lot of, you know, I've had a conversation with the mayor, and I don't know if I would be able to do that in another city. So
where did you come from?
I came from San Francisco.
Oh, well, there's a city that has labeled itself fairly well. It certainly has.
Yeah.
Before I turn to Brian, it's interesting you talk about being welcoming, because we've done programs here with transplants who say that St. Louis is not very welcoming. It's very difficult to crack it.
And I think one reason that might be is actually because a lot of people who move here for jobs. And the corporate way of plugging in a transplant is not maybe the best for St. Louis. Again, it's tooting the horns of all of our institutions and the great amenities we have. But really, I think it's a lot of the grassroots efforts, a lot of the organic connections that people make in this city that make it a great place to live. And I think when you move here to work, you know, maybe for Express Scripts or Anheuser-Busch or a big company where they have to kind of have a program to induct you into the city, you're not getting that personal experience that you would just moving here for another reason, let's say.
Before I go to the phones, Brian, a quick sales pitch for St. Louis.
Okay, you bet. We think about this, obviously, a lot, and the way we describe it is that in St. Louis you have the opportunity to experience everything that you would expect out of a first-tier cosmopolitan city. You have art, you have culture, you have quality of life, you have sporting venues, you have everything that you would expect out of a city three times our size without the downside. You don't have the cost, you don't have the competition for resources, meaning waiting in line, and you don't have the congestion. Our shorthand for the positioning is Cosmo without the crap, if I can say that on the radio, Don.
That would fit on a button. Let's go to the phones. Unless someone has something to add to that, we'll start getting some listener input. We'll start with Jim calling from Kirkwood. Jim, thanks for being with us. Go ahead.
How about just the slogan of the Gateway?
All right.
Life. It's simple. It encompasses everything. And when I think of St. Louis, I have so many different aspects. We're the gateway to the solar system through WashU's Earth and Planetary Sciences. That's an example. There's lots of research that goes on here in the sciences, especially biology. The district, the museum district, is unbelievable. If you go to Chicago, it's $25 just to park. You know, so, and ours is free. The music scene here is amazing. I go to other towns and have trouble finding live music sometimes, and we have an incredible live music scene here that doesn't seem to get promoted all that well. And then restaurant-wise or eating, it's such a variety of neighborhoods, such a variety of different types of places to go.
All right. Thanks for the call. I think you ought to put him on the staff, Brian.
That tagline got very long as the explanation unfolded.
I could go with Gateway to the Solar System, though.
We
might get some pushback from Cape Canaveral. But
quick thing that's really interesting to
Star
think
Trek
about.
Star Trek convention, I know that.
There you go. Live long and prosper. Yeah. One interesting thing in reference to Gateway is that the arch as a symbol has untold brand strength for us. It is our Nike swoosh. If you were just to assess the brand value of that arch as a symbol, it's worth billions of dollars. It's almost universal in its understanding and association with St. Louis.
But it was also just recently picked as one of the worst national monuments in the country.
But I would contest the competition it was up against was in different arenas. Like, I think the Gateway at the Arch as a gateway, as a symbol of St. Louis, is kind of something totally different from some of the ones it was up against.
All right. Yeah. Fair enough. I think most people here disputed that that designation anyway. Yeah. Let's bring in Jessica, also calling from Kirkwood. Jessica, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for taking my call, Don. I am actually in the service industry in a really popular area, and I work at a restaurant, and I think probably a quarter of our customers are from out of town. And the common thing I hear every single day I work is actually how friendly St. Louisans are. And I'm not great at branding or, you know, coming up with slogans, but if we could incorporate something like that, I mean, I'm 5 days a week, I'm, you know, waiting tables, and the common thing I hear constantly is people go out of their way, actually, to suggest things to do. This is great, you know, mm-hmm. the loop's great, Soulard's great.
That's entirely true.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't know. That's just a constant thing, you know, 5 days a week I'm hearing from customers that are coming from out of town.
Jessica, thanks so much. Tara, that's precisely what you were saying a few minutes ago.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that is an interesting take on the city, because that is sort of what I was referring to. It's the personal recommendations when you get to the city that maybe show you how great St. Louis is. It's not the obvious tourist attractions always, but maybe it's, you know, an incredible restaurant or, you know, an incredible park. We have all these smaller amenities that as a tourist you might not be aware of until you get here, and then there's someone to say hello and point you in the right direction. It's great.
Speaking of tourists, let's bring in Mark calling from St. Louis. I think he's going to mention people from out of town. Go ahead, Mark. You're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say my daughter, who happens to be an urban planner in New York and lives in Brooklyn, was married Saturday night. And Friday night, the rehearsal dinner was at the Botanical Gardens, looking across the fountains at the Jessica home. And the wedding was at Tower Grove Park. The reception at the Racquet Club, and we had 100 guests from New York and Connecticut, and they were all flabbergasted at how wonderful Missouri was and how wonderful St. Louis was. That they, you know, when I told them that some of the houses in the West End were $1 million in 1920, and people sent their wives to Italy to supervise the marble being excavated. You know, my daughter said some of her friends says, "Gosh, wait, how come you don't live in St. Louis?" Well, she would if we had urban transportation and they all moved here. But St. Louis came off fabulously. We had compliments from people about how wonderful it was in the weather. You couldn't have beaten the weather this weekend. But we're a big believer in St. Louis and love it, and think that the most important marketing we have to do is among ourselves.
Mark, thank you so much for the call. That point, I think, was made a little bit earlier by others here. But Brian Hall, go ahead. You wanted to say something.
Well, two things. Number one, I think our Midwestern hospitality is our secret weapon. And we roll out the red carpet wonderfully when it comes to customer satisfaction. We get feedback all the time. We conduct research. We ask customers, meeting and event planners, how their delegates enjoy their experience here in St. Louis. We do the same with leisure customers. They really enjoy the Midwestern hospitality and the friendliness of our folks during their stay, and that comes through loud and clearly. The second thing that I want to mention is that, as the caller just suggested, seeing is indeed believing. People are charmed and surprised when they come here for the first time because they may have low to no expectations, and they're totally blown away by what they see.
Go ahead, Mac. You wanted to respond.
I think in terms of people coming here from elsewhere, the other thing that's important to remember in terms of a global community is that, you know, we're competing with other cities all over the world. I mean, we're competing with Berlin as much as Branson for tourism dollars and people coming here and investment and people who want to live here. So that that phenomenon where people come here from elsewhere and it's a friendly, inviting place is extremely important.
I want to make a comment about actually moving here, too, beyond just visiting here. I work for Innovate St. Louis, and we're a nonprofit that promotes entrepreneurship in St. Louis. And the entrepreneurship community here is booming. And we have things like Arch Grants that are literally pulling people to St. Louis, paying them to move here. And this is a great place to start something. And I think that, you know, when people visit, that's a really good time to make that initial almost handshake with them, saying welcome here, leave St. Louis with a good taste in your mouth. But we really need to talk about roping people back in. And, you know, in my work, I find that entrepreneurship is a great opportunity for that because, as I said, it's affordable to do something here and to start something here. But also, you know, Max said earlier, we have the infrastructure of, you know, 1904 and 1960, and we have an incredible infrastructure, and people who are willing to innovate and get their hands dirty and bootstrap are people that would love St. Louis. We have so many assets, and a lot of them are vacant and waiting to be used. And I think that we need to also have a conversation not just about getting tourists, but actually getting residents and people who want to make an investment in St. Louis for the long term.
I'm close to another break, but when we're talking about infrastructure, let me bring in Tim calling from Brentwood. I think he wants to make a point with regard to that. Tim, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I live in Brentwood right now, pretty close to Kirkwood, which has a Amtrak, which is really outdated in my point of view. You know, brings in older couples trying to get out. And my problem is that when my girlfriend lives out in St. Charles, which I don't really like going out there, but the mentality of St. Charles people and St. Louis people is that it's too far to go anywhere. And why would I want to go that far? Or even, you know, if I have friends out there, why would I want to, you know, go back and forth? Tell me what kind of things that you guys are maybe bridging the gap between, like, St. Charles and St. Louis, maybe bringing people out and in. Even North County, you know, you don't have a Metrolink or anything, any kind of service out there like that. Metrolink currently is in a weird spot. You know, it's only access to people in that small area, not, you know, a bigger demographic.
Okay, Tim, we've got the point of your call. We could have a talk about what you have against old couples, by the way, but that's for another time. I think Tara wants to respond to something you said.
Yeah, St. Louis has a big challenge in our lack of population density, and a large part of that is because we have such a big MSA, and it's funny. I would love for St. Louis to have a very comprehensive metro system. I don't think we have the population density to support it yet. That said, there are a lot of people moving to the city, and we were talking about it before the show. I live around Tower Grove Park, and that's a booming neighborhood in terms of density and also in terms of diversity. It's there's a lot of variation socioeconomically. There's families, there's single people. And I see that neighborhood really snowballing because there's density there. There's more energy growing, and I think it bleeds over a lot into, you know, Cherokee Street is right there. Dutchtown is not far away, mm-hmm. and I see those neighborhoods really doing well mm-hmm. because people are moving there.
That's Tara Pham. Our conversation today is focusing on the branding of St. Louis. She is with me in studio, as is Brian Hall, Chief Marketing Officer for the St. Louis Convention and Visitors Commission. Mac Bradley is here also, Media Strategist and President for Standpoint Public Affairs. Matt Seelback is co-owner of Anastasis Films. We'll be back to continue our conversation and take more of your calls in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back as we talk about branding St. Louis. And Mac Bradley, let me come to you. Something you mentioned during the break I think is interesting. If this is such a great community, a great place to be, why do so many people go away, leave?
Oh, because they're dumb. I mean, I think we pretty much established that. But
the slogan, because you're not dumb.
Right. You're not dumb. That's why you're here. I like it. Fits on a button, too. But it does speak to the fact that as a region, now we talked a second ago about population density, and that's important for lots of different reasons. But population overall is important, too. And as a whole, the population of this region has not been growing. My personal opinion, I also live in the city. The city has an infrastructure built for 950,000 people, and we have a third of that. So we got a little growing that we can still do in the city. Mm-hmm. But the region as a whole needs to grow, too.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts to add to that? Go ahead, Tara.
Yeah, the challenge that sort of keeps coming up is we have this city-county divide. And one thing, with my work with Innovate, we do a lot of work with the RCGA, with the St. Louis County Economic Council. We're constantly working from this county mindset, as well as a city mindset. But, I think it would benefit the entire region if we really strengthened the urban core and did really build, you know, build up downtown and the city specifically. Nothing against the county, although I do have issues with the county. I think making the city stronger will make the region overall stronger.
Ryan?
Don, we just launched a new foundation called the St. Louis Civic Pride Foundation. It's chaired by Kim Tucci and Donna Wilkinson, and it's to address exactly what we're talking about, because we know, as evidenced by, for example, Matt's video, that when things are viral and they are grassroots in orientation, they're very believable and they can be quite pervasive quickly. We need to unleash civic pride among the residents of St. Louis City and County and this entire region to make them have a culture of confidence, so that when they talk about St. Louis, they're doing so in a fashion that is positive, and they are looking to attract other people as residents, as entrepreneurs, or whatever the case may be.
And, go ahead, Tara.
Our collective brain drain, ironically named, of course. One of our objectives is actually in recognizing that people are going to leave. That's natural. We want people to leave St. Louis saying great things about St. Louis, going to other cities and being what Brian called earlier an ambassador. Because I think right now there are a lot of people who come to St. Louis maybe for a job, and their mentality is, I just want to get out of here. I'm going to apply to a job in Chicago or New York or anywhere else to get out. And then they go there and they say, yeah, I just really didn't like St. Louis. And what we can do is make sure that when people here move elsewhere, that they're saying, you know, I love St. Louis, and I just happened to be somewhere else maybe, but I loved St. Louis, and I recommend you check it out.
I want to go to Mac in just a second, but Matt, so many people have mentioned your film. Where can people see this? Is it available online?
Sure, yeah, it is. You can go to our website, which is anastasisfilms.com, and you can find it there, or you can do a web search, or even in Vimeo, where we have it housed, do a search for Here is St. Louis,
okay.
And you'll find it there.
People ought to take a look about it. You did a real nice job on it.
Thank you, Don.
All the attributes of this community are in that.
And I will say in response, in continuation of what Brian was saying, is we did see a lot of people responding saying, I grew up just outside of the city and always had this idea that St. Louis was just a terrible place, which I think is, again, that carryover of that mindset.
Yeah.
And when I grew up and moved out of my home or became of age to go explore, I realized what a great city was we lived in. So I think a lot of it has to do with how do we take over that mindset and break in to introduce something different than what people are used to thinking of us
as. Mac, you wanted to get into the previous part of the conversation.
Yeah, and actually to build on that a little bit, you know, we've had calls so far from Kirkwood and Brentwood and lots of different parts of the region. I think it's important that that the brand of St. Louis is embraces all of those people, right?
Yeah.
Everybody who lives around the region should feel embraced by the brand.
Right. It's a single region.
And if you're, I don't want to pick on these guys, but if you're Baldwin, for example, the brand of your city of Baldwin should fit nicely under the regional brand of St. Louis.
And if you're from Baldwin and you go someplace out of state and people ask you where you're from, you say St. Louis.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
Brian, you wanted to get into that?
Remember that article? I'll give you another great example of a grassroots cause that that really caught fire very quickly. A gentleman by the name of Aaron Perlett wrote an article in Forbes, and it was called St. Louis Doesn't Suck.
Oh, yes.
And it caught fire from a viral standpoint, and it was passed throughout the entire community very quickly, and the nation, if not the region. So that was a great example of sort of igniting civic pride and raising the flag that, you know what, we're better than we give ourselves credit for being. So Aaron has been working with a variety of different organizations, and he's getting ready to unleash a major follow-up to that. I can't talk about it right now, but be on the lookout for some really exciting things that will be addressing exactly what we're talking about.
Who could not read an article with a title like that, by the way?
Well, I would love to see the dialogue change from being St. Louis doesn't suck to St. Louis rocks. But I did want to bring up actually a project that Brain Drain is working on, and we actually have a presentation about it tonight at the Contemporary Art Museum as part of St. Louis Design Week. But we are designing a wayfinding system for the city of St. Louis called City Pulse, and it's a technology-based wayfinding system that actually uses lighting infrastructure around the city to measure activity in the city and overlay that activity with interactive maps that people can use to find important, you know, data about maybe the city operations. Entrepreneurs can use it as a platform for civic applications. There's a lot of uses for it, but the main thing that it does actually is harness what's really in St. Louis. So our tagline, which is funny because Max said something like this earlier, is your city has a story to tell. We're simply illuminating it. Mm-hmm. So we're using literal light to illuminate activity, but also broadcasting that larger on virtual platforms.
I think what they're doing at the Brain Drain is amazing. I watched the video presentation that Tara and one of the others there made.
Matthew Strom. Mm-hmm.
And it's you really ought to check it out if you haven't seen it. And I just wanted to say to that, is I think that's what half of this is about, is empowering the grassroots people to rise up, because I really think that there's a movement afoot right now in St. Louis.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
I'd like to get some more calls in. Time is getting away, but I want to bring in Ron specifically, and then we'll go to some others when we finish with Ron. Ron, go ahead. You're on the air.
If you get bored in St. Louis, it's your fault.
Amen.
There you go.
Only county types have got to have a permit to come east of Skinker.
Ron, thanks for the call. All right, if you're bored, it's your fault. Sandra in South St. Louis, go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead, Sandra.
Yes. Yeah. My question, I think this idea of branding is a wonderful idea and something that can get us all together. One of the questions I have, I don't know if any of your panel today is African-American or not, but one of the questions that I have is, how are our African-American people and our East Asian people being included in this conversation, and how are they going to show up as part of the branding as well as the whole cookie? In other words, how is it going to be really racially inclusive? That's my question.
Good question. And how, Tara,
and how are they going to be able to be part of this discussion and not just given it?
Tara, what is your ethnic background?
I am multi-ethnic. My dad is Vietnamese and my mom is Caucasian.
Okay, so you're the first one to go to on this question.
Yeah, that's a big challenge. I've found in actually a lot of the different work that I've done that we've done a poor job of engaging the Black community in St. Louis, and in a city that's half African American, that's pretty crazy. That's one reason I'm actually very excited about City Pulse, the project that Brain Drain is really all hands on deck for right now, because it's based in physical infrastructure. So anyone walking on the sidewalk can engage with it and be a part of it and have their impact on the overall system. And I think we do need to find more opportunities to make outreach accessible, because so much now in the internet age is confined to certain, you know, social groups, certain social media circles, or, you know, a website that if you don't visit, you don't know what's going on.
There is that insular quality here in this town, though. Mm-hmm. People kind of stick together with their groups.
Definitely.
Perhaps more so than other places. Go ahead, Brian.
I think the point that the caller makes is absolutely critical. We have, in response to the challenge, we have a multicultural committee at the CVC that has a great cross-section of folks representing a wide variety of ethnicities and orientations. And we test our advertising concepts. We gain input from them. We have a platform that actually uses Jackie Joyner Kersee to reach out to African Americans, and a dedicated website called explorethe314.com as a result of some of the input that we've received. What's tough, though, is that all of our activity is actually done outside of the community, because it's about heads and beds. It's about drawing people in. So it's unfortunate that a lot of locals don't get to see it. But I invite people to check out Explore the 314 to see how we leverage the strength of St. Louis to African Americans.
That's a website you're talking about?
It is indeed.
Okay. Explore 314. Back to the phones. We have a couple of slogans here we'll try to bring in. Frank in St. Louis, go ahead. You're on the air.
Guys doing? I love the show. Love the conversation. Thanks so much for all you're doing for St. Louis.
Thank you.
I wanted to suggest a theme, and that would be things grow here. I'm an avid biker, and we have wonderful bike trails. And from talking to the folks at TrailNet, I know that they've designed them in such a way so that more and more of us are out noticing the rivers that make up our area. And there's just something about the land that's really exciting that I think adds to all of what you're saying, because you can even talk about, startups growing here. It doesn't have to be things growing here, but the land itself just gives this story every day. Somebody told me that if you leave land alone in St. Louis, it will just sort of jungle-fy. You know, it's just...
There are parts of the cities you can see that happening.
Yeah. And you could talk about... You could name famous people who grew here. You could talk about startups that grew here. You could talk about... because this speaks to the dynamism that you're looking for, I think, is that things are happening here, things are growing here. Anyway, just wanted to offer that.
Tells
me that every day.
Let's get some feedback from our panelists. What do you think? Things grow here.
I think that's a cool idea because it does speak to a dynamic community, right? It speaks to activity, and I think that's really important.
I love that, too, because it is a nod to what's to come. It's not really focusing on the dark times that St. Louis has had, but actually focusing on everything great that can happen here going forward.
The future should be part of anything that we do. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely.
We have a suggestion for an ad campaign here, I believe, from Larry calling from Richmond Heights. Larry, time's beginning to get away, so make your point quickly, please.
Sure. I heard one of your guests say the phrase, what it means to be a St. Louisan. How about a series of real personal ads? One, let's say, what it means to be a family in St. Louis, what it means to be an entrepreneur in St. Louis, what it means to be a 20-something in St. Louis. Really break it down and make it very personal. I could see that going off real well.
And this is something that would air in other parts of the country, I assume.
I don't know. Possibly, yeah. Possibly.
Well, storytelling is universal in its appeal. And when you talk about growth and the wonderful stories that we have in the community and what this caller is referring to right now, I think that is rich fodder. And there are many ways that you can tell a story. What I think we need to do as a community is find outlets for people to tell those stories and to reach people outside of the community.
And inside the community. I mean, to
Indeed.
The point that we started with, inside the community is just as important. I think.
That's right.
And I think that's happening a lot at the grassroots level. There's a lot of awesome campaigns happening right now. There's a project called St. Louis for the Love that profiles people who live in St. Louis and everything that they're about. There's a new crowdfunding platform called Overfund It that is focusing on community doers. And St. Louis is one of their pilot cities, one of their two pilot cities. There's a lot of great things happening, and I think those personal profiles are a really good way to show the individual vitality of the city's makeup.
We only have 2 minutes left. A couple of we can't take these calls, but two proposals for slogans. St. Louis has what you want is one of them, and the other slogan, where worlds meet. So we just throw those out there. Let me go around the table in the 2 minutes we have left and ask you to do it in about 15 or 20 seconds. We'll start with you, Mac. Where do we go from here?
I think, first of all, we talked about this a little bit before. We got to get our act together regionally. We have to come up with a program, and everybody needs to be on board with it. And we need to do something that's inclusive, that includes everybody's voices, that's both aspirational about the future but also realistic about where we are right now.
Matt?
I would just end with a thanks to my fellow panelists for the things they're doing in St. Louis and an imploring to I'm an entrepreneur in the area. So I would end with an imploring to other entrepreneurs, other people who are excited about St. Louis, who live in the city or just outside of the city, do what you're passionate about and also present your idea and just go for it to advance the city. Do something because from the grassroots, amazing things are possible.
Right.
I invite everyone listening to advocate and evangelize St. Louis and shout it from the roof and loud and clear. And I think that one other comment is that think about the book that Malcolm Gladwell wrote called The Tipping Point. I think we're tipping. I think we're going to have a lot of wind in our sails in a very short period of time, and I'm very bullish on the future of St. Louis.
And Tara, the last word.
Wow. Woo. I would 100% echo everything that my co-panelists have said, and I would also say everyone in St. Louis, make what you're doing look cool. I think a big challenge we have is that we get eyeballs on the city, and then people, click through the article, and what they find doesn't look that cool. And if you're not here and you can't see it for yourself, that's a problem. So do what you're doing and make it look cool. I think Matt's video did a great job.
So here's the slogan: we're cool. All right,
that works.
St. Louis is cool.
St. Louis is cool. We've got to stop it right there. I want to thank you all. Brian Hall, thanks for being with us. Tara Pham, thank you so much for being with us. Mac Bradley, great to see you.
Thank you.
Matt Seelback, thank you for being with us. Nice discussion today. Appreciate it. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll examine the role that stress plays in the behavior of African-American youth. And then we'll talk with former Cardinals manager Tony La Russa about his new book highlighting his final season with the club. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.